Hi there, folks. This is episode 77 of the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. We've really got a special guest here, Ross Jeffries. I'm going to let him introduce himself quickly and also give you a intro in what we're going to be discussing, and then he's going to hand it over to my co-host. Off you go, Ross.
Thank you. My name is Ross Jeffries. I am a master trainer and practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and a master hypnotist. I've been doing both practices for 28 years. And for the last few years, I've been assisting sales professionals in using the power of what I call stealth persuasion to double or even triple their closings, conversions, and sales through the power of invisible influence. What I'm going to teach you today are some ways to, and I hate to say mind control, let's say mind direct your client or prospect to take the actions that you want them to take. I want to give you a little bit of formula here, a little bit of the propositions that make this all run before I go into the word for word stuff.
Oh, that sounds great. So I'm going to introduce my co-host, yes. Thomas. Go on, Thomas, introduce yourself.
Well, happy new year, everybody. It's Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a San Diego realtor here, and I also can be found at my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. And Jonathan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm the founder of Mel Wright. It's a marketing system for real estate agents focused on Facebook, and then gives you the tools that you can use Facebook to get some really quality leads. So if that sounds interesting, contact us. So off back to our fantastic guest, Ross. So delve some more into this fascinating subject.
Well, one of the things I want all of your listeners to understand is that nowadays your traditional sales techniques, and I'm not putting them down, don't work quite as well as they used to. And I'm going to tell you why. The reason why is that your clients and customers, first of all, don't trust their ability to make a good decision. One of the things you have to understand when you sell, and you need to kind of put your ego aside to hear this, is you're never really selling the home. What you're really selling are decisions and feeling good about decisions. So you really need to get that thing first. Yes, from a technical perspective and a paper and pen and ink perspective, or if you DocuSign perspective, you're selling the home. I get that. But from a much deeper level, from the level of the unconscious mind, which is the level that I work upon, that I deal upon, that I teach about, you're selling decisions and you're selling good feelings about decisions. And here's the problem. Number one, people have always had a big button on money, on parting with large sums of it. But the second thing is people no longer have trust in the institutions and investments that used to be good for them. And I'll illustrate this with a really quick story. Right around 2008, my accountant called me up and he said, you know, Ross, you still have some time to put some money into your 401k before April 15th. Go ahead and do it. So I walked into my trusty bank, which was Washington Mutual. I don't know if your listeners remember Washington Mutual. And I went to the financial officer. I said, I'd like to make an investment. I'd like to make a contribution, an investment. He said, what level of risk? I said, very conservative. He said, no problem. I've got a company here you like. They're called AIG.
Oh, no.
And I said, AIG. I'm not making any of this up. Wow. I said, AIG. Who are they? He said, don't worry. They have assets like you won't believe. That's exactly what he said. Now, a couple of weekends later, I'm strolling by to get some money from my ATM at Washington Mutual, and it's closed. And I'm going, what's going on with this? And then the next day, the Washington Mutual sign had disappeared. And what was on it? Chase. Chase bought Washington Mutual dime on the dollar. The whole thing crashed. This is a real estate crash of 2008.
Yep.
And so don't think that people have forgotten that on the unconscious level. On the conscious level, they may indeed have forgotten it. But on the unconscious level, they've got a problem. And so one of the reasons why you hear objections, and I want to go through today some of the common objections that you get, and I'll give you word-for-word answers, but when I give you those word-for-word answers, I want to unpack the tools behind them so you can see how to use them for yourself. Now, if all you do is use the word-for-word answers I give you, you're going to see your sales, I think, go up by 20 to 30%. And the most common thing you hear in any business, because I do this also for the financial planning, the wealth management businesses, they're sort of, in a sense, and the mortgage industry as well, I work with them. Yep. They're sort of kissing cousins to real estate.
Yeah, we're all connected.
They're all connected. And so I want to give a common objection, and those people listening or watching this can immediately, instantaneously identify this common objection. So the objection is, I need to think it over. Now,
yep. Unfortunately, we hear that
objection often.
Yep.
Yep. And so the response would be, this is something called an agreement frame. I'm going to give you the illustration, then I will explain it. Okay.
Okay.
So you be the objector. Say, I need to think it over.
Yeah, Russ, you know, I'm going to need to think that over.
I agree you need to think it over. And that means I haven't yet done a good enough job at helping you to understand this is a great decision. Hmm. What would I need to explain to help you find the clarity to really want to do this? Now, this is what we call an agreement frame. With an agreement frame, we appear to be agreeing with the prospect, but actually what we're doing is redirecting them so they put the meaning on it that we want them to put. So if someone says, I need to think it over, what they're really saying is, I'm not sure, I'm confused, correct?
Correct.
So I agree you need to think it over. So by starting with I agree, what does that do? It means it gives the illusion that you're listening to them. Of course, you should listen and you care. So that means you're not doing what they expect. Usually, when someone says, I have to think it over, what's the typical response that you try?
I would get defensive probably and start asking, why do you need to think it over? Or, you just start to backpedal.
You either backpedal or you confront.
Right.
Now, those two things, number one, they usually don't work. And more importantly, they're a pattern that the person is used to giving. So in NLP, we teach what's known as a pattern interrupt. When you interrupt someone's expected pattern of response, then what you do is create a state of temporary suggestibility. So the first thing, I agree you need to think it over. So that they're going to have a temporary pause in their mind saying, what? He's agreeing with me?
Right.
And that means I haven't yet done a good enough job helping you to understand this is a great decision. That phrase, and that means, is what we call a linkage phrase. It's redefining what the meaning of their objection is. It's saying to them, here's why you need to think it over. And that means I haven't yet done a good enough job helping you to understand this is a great decision. Now, we're using a couple of tools in there. One of the tools we're using is what we call an embedded suggestion. The embedded suggestion is, this is a great decision. Now, if I'd come back directly and said, hey, this is a great decision, you don't need to think it over, what do you think the response would be?
Yeah, they're going to feel like they're being attacked or right. They're going to get defensive with you.
Right. So what we do is we embed that suggestion inside of a sentence. So when we say, and that means I haven't yet done a good enough job helping you to understand this is a great decision, it puts in the suggestion, this is a great decision. And by saying you haven't yet done a good enough job, when you say I haven't yet taken the car to the car wash, what you're really saying is I'm going to do it. I just haven't yet got around to doing it. Does that make right. sense?
Yes, it does.
So when you say, and that means, that's what we call a linkage phrase. It allows you to redefine any objection, and give it the meaning that you want to assign to it. And that means I haven't yet done a good enough job helping you to understand, and here's a suggestion, this is a great decision. Now, here's the next question. It's called an elicitation question. So from there, you say, what would I need to explain to help you find the clarity to really want to do this? There's another embedded suggestion. So the embedded suggestions are, this is a great decision and really want to do this. So we're using two embedded suggestions and we're getting to the real bottom of it. We want them to tell us what the real reason is. Usually when people have to think it over. What they're actually saying is, I don't have enough clarity to make the decision. I'm confused. So by asking the elicitation question, you can then go through and see what is the real problem and address it. The biggest problem with an objection is not addressing it in a way where the person can state where what it really is.
I would agree with that.
Does that make some sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's when I've had something tank that I was hoping to put together, that's often the feeling I'm left with is I didn't unpack it enough for them to make a decision, but I didn't know how to go about doing that beyond what I had already attempted.
Right. I want to go over this word for word. Well, people are listening to this or watching this on a video cast, so they can repeat it for themselves. My suggestion is you take this and somehow you transcribe it. I don't know. I don't want to step on anybody's toes here. Okay. So let's say they give you the reasons and they say, well, I don't understand this, 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 and this. That's the request for clarity.
Right.
So your response would be something on the lines of, oh, shoot, of course that's why you didn't want to do it now. Do it now. Did you hear that? Let me show you in a way that you understand much better. I think the more you understand, the more you'll see it really is a great choice for you to make. Now, that the more pattern is something else we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
Here's some other ways to deal with the I need to think it over objection. Another way to do it is to redefine what the meaning is a different way. So if they say, I need to think it over, you can use a counterexample. Counterexample would be, and this is wicked one. So you play the objector. Say, I need to think it over.
I'm going to need to think it over, Russ.
Well, have you ever taken a long time and still made the wrong decision?
Yeah, I guess that has happened.
Yes. And then you say the following. Maybe it's not about the time you take. Maybe it's about getting the clarity you need to realize this is a really great decision. Why don't I explain a little more? So you see what we're doing? We're giving a counterexample.
Right.
You like that one?
I do, because it's everything you're given us so far is so contrary to what people are typically experiencing.
Exactly. It's contrary to their way of thinking. And when you one of the tools I teach is when you break people's pattern or even confuse them a little bit, it creates a temporary, and I want to make this very clear, a temporary window of confusion. And when people are a temporary window of confusion, and that leads to a temporary window of suggestibility. Now, if you have an issue with the word suggestibility, then think of it in terms of willingness, that people become more willing to make a decision, more willing to buy. Remember what I said, one of my primary axioms, and there's, I think, 7 or 8 of them that I teach in my training courses or workshops or breakout sessions, etc. And that principle is that, again, you are not selling the property. You're selling decisions and you're selling feelings about decisions. And the other principle I teach is confusion used at the right time and used artfully can be very, very powerful. Now, doesn't this go contrary to what you're told? What you're told
Absolutely.
Is always, what you're told is a salesperson is always make the message clear. Now, that's true. That's true at the right time. That's true at the right time. But there are times when creating confusion is very, very useful, very, very important. Now, I don't think you've heard this from any other guest because I have a much different angle on this. So here's another one that I'm sure you guys get. Why should we list our home with you?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a typical one?
It is pretty typical. They want you to qualify yourself to them.
Exactly. Now, I have 2 responses to this. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm kind of smiling to myself because they're really wickedly strong and they're wickedly powerful. Okay. Okay. So you go ahead. Hit me with that one.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I forgot what the objection I'm giving you is.
Good. You already forgot. No, the objection is, why should we list our home with you?
Oh, that's right. Why should we list our home with you? Okay, so I'm just going to give it in real world. You know, Ross, we've interviewed a couple other agents, so why should we list our home with you?
Here's the response. Well, I could list lots of reasons, and the more you listen to them, the more you probably think to yourself, oh, they're the one. But why don't we go through what you're most looking for in a listing agent, and you point to yourself subtly, and see if we make a good fit. Now, let me explain how that one works, okay?
Okay.
So they say, why should we list our home with you? You say, well, I could list lots of reasons. So you're incorporating their term into your response.
Okay.
And here comes the really wicked part. It's called the more pattern. The more you listen to them, the more you'd probably think to yourself, oh, they're the one. Now, this is a really wicked pattern. You're taking the behavior they're doing, listening, and you're telling them what they're going to think. The more you listen, the more you'd probably, and here comes what I call, and this is very complex. Please understand, I'm trying to take what I would do in a one-day training or a weekend training and to pack it all into your 40-minute webcast.
Understood.
You understand?
Yep.
Well, I could list lots of reasons. That's called incorporating their term. And the more you listen to them, the more you'd probably think to yourself, and this is where some people are going to get a little ooky on whether it's okay to use tools as powerful. Think to yourself is what I call a trance phrase. Think to yourself, find yourself. These are all phrases that imply and trigger an unconscious process. I'll give you an example in ordinary life, and then we'll return to what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Did you ever just find yourself reaching for the refrigerator door? You find yourself in the refrigerator, and you don't remember taking the steps to get there or even what you're looking for. That ever happened
yes.
to you?
Hey, oh, too often.
Too often. Or have you ever been driving down the highway, and suddenly you find yourself looking at the signs and you've gone 30 miles, but it didn't even seem like you'd even any time had gone by.
Yeah. Especially the older I get.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. They'll look at me. I'm 58. I'm a shambles here this morning. Okay. So what we're doing here is incorporating naturally hypnotic processes that people do anyway. And once again, if that term hypnotic sounds too powerful, then ignore me and don't, you know, double your sales. It's no problem for me. Okay. So think to yourself. Think to yourself is actually giving them a command to think to themselves, okay, he's the one or she's the one. I don't want to get sexist here. So, well, I could probably list lots of reasons. And the more you listen to them, the more you probably think to yourself, okay, they're the one. But why don't we go through what you're most looking for in a listing agent, and then you subtly point to yourself and see if we make a good fit. There's an embedded suggestion. We make a good fit. So in the space of two sentences, what are you doing? You're incorporating their term, list. Then we're saying using the more pattern. The more you do this behavior of listening, the more you're going to do the trance phrase. Think to yourself, okay, they're the one. Notice when you say think to yourself, you're filling in the gap. You have to tell them what to think. You're not saying you'll probably think to yourself, well, I really got to think it over. That's not going to lead to the outcome you want.
Right.
So why then we use an elicitation question. So why don't we go through what you're most looking for in a listing agent and see if we make a good fit? That's okay.
Yep.
Got that one?
Yep.
So basically, Ross, by doing that, you're getting them to verbally persuade themselves to hire you, because basically you're linking yourself suggestively to the main things they're looking for an agent. Would I be correct in that?
Yes, and you're not even telling. Yes, exactly correct. You're priming them to already decide you're it. And by priming them to decide you're it, that makes it more likely that they're going to verbally tell you the reasons, the things that they're looking for. And that way, you know what to emphasize in your history and your experience.
Yeah.
So and you're giving the suggestion, we make a good fit.
Right.
So in that space of two sentences, you're bombarding them, what I would say, with four, maybe five hypnotic tools. And again, this is actually easy to use. Once I teach you, once I train you, once I consult with you, you'll see. It's very overwhelming to hear it at first. Now, the fact that it's overwhelming or seems different is only a sign that it can give you results that are different than what you're used to getting. Because it's the ways of thinking and acting that stand so far outside of what we're used to doing that hold the potential of bringing us the results that are so far outside of what we're used to enjoying. Does that make sense?
It definitely does. But before we go for our quick break, I just want to recap a couple of things quickly just to see if you feel we've got the gist of this. What I got from our initial discussion, Ross, is, you know, if you just ask a possible client, you know, what are your objections, you're probably not going, they're not going to tell you. And it's interesting. It's interesting why they won't tell you. It would probably save a lot of time, but they just don't want to do that because they feel they're in a negotiation or choosing state of mind. So I find asking that question is practically a waste of time. But what you're suggesting is a number of techniques and question methodologies that really opens up the possible client to finding out what are the real objections. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I want to add in, we're giving them suggestions that they're going to listen carefully, and the more carefully they listen, the more they'll convince themselves that you're the right one. Right? And then, so they're already convinced on an unconscious level, and then they're going to give you the conscious things that they're looking for. But remember, 90% of the decision-making process is made in the unconscious anyway. The 10% of the reasons why, those are just ways of making them feel good about the decision. It all comes back to that formula that I gave you in the beginning. You're not selling the property as much as you are. On one level you are, I get it. But what you really do is selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. That's the point I want to make.
I think that's great. We're going to go to our break, folks, and we'll be back in a second to learn more about Ross and how you could improve this whole process that we've been discussing. Be back in a minute, folks.
Are you struggling to master Facebook ads? Struggle no more. Check out Modern Mogul Marketing and put your real estate business on autopilot with Grant Wise. To receive a 20-minute business consultation, go to modernmogulmarketing.com and schedule a time. It's that easy. Grant Wise is a proud sponsor of the Real Estate Agent Podcast.
We're coming back. We've got our great guest here, Ross Jeffries, been really engrossed in the conversation so far. Like to take over again, Ross, and give us a bit more insights in this yes. process you've been describing.
Yes. Let me give you some more of these. Here's another response to why should we list with you? Okay, this one's a little more wordy, but it works just as powerfully. I'll give it to you word for word, then we'll unpack it, shall we?
Yeah, sounds great.
Let's do it.
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Jones, assuming it's a couple. I don't know the actual factual situation. Mr. and Mrs. Jones, only you can, and I'm going to lean on the transphrase, only you can decide for yourself. That, once again, is a transphrase. They're going to go inside and decide for yourself. Only you can decide for yourself. You want to choose me. There's a suggestion. So we have a transphrase and we have a suggestion right off the bat. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Bless you.
The information I'm revealing today is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Jones, only you can decide for yourself. You want to choose me. And I never want you to do that for any reasons other than the ones that stand out for you. So here's another suggestion. Do that. Decide for yourself. Do that. Choose me. For any reasons other than the ones that stand out for you. That's a suggestion that they're going to go inside their own mind. They're going to find their own reasons to choose you on an unconscious level. This is a command, and I know it may seem a little complex. Remember, I'm doing what I would teach in a 90-day private consult program or a weekend seminar or weekend training. I'm trying to compress it down here.
Understood.
So, only you can decide for yourself. There's our friend, the transphrase. Here's the suggestion. You want to choose me. I never want you to do that. So the command, do that, the command, choose me, the transphrase, for any reasons other than ones that stand out for you, right? So on the unconscious level, you're commanding them to choose you and to find their own unconscious reasons. And now we're going to use a truism. A truism is a statement that everyone agrees with. But as every sharp person knows, the first and most important step is gathering the right information. So you know, and here comes another suggestion, you're making the best choice. I want that certainty too, so we can make sure we're a good fit. There's another suggestion. What are the top things you're looking for when you decide you want the list? So now, after giving them all these suggestions, all these commands, all these transphrases that they're already going to pick you, then you're going to ask them what the top three things are, the top things they're looking for, so they can get more clarity and you can get more clarity that you fit. But really, you're only doing that to give them some a good feeling about the unconscious decision that they've already made. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you're basically freeing them up to be their true self in that moment, so that you can get to the heart of the matter instead of getting stuck out at the gatekeeper that is their defenses that stop a lot of us salespeople, and we're always looking for that gate to get in.
With all due respect, and I do respect your experience, you have far more experience in the field of actually selling real estate than I am. To be blunt, I've never sold a piece of real estate in my life, but I've taught people to sell millions and millions of real estate. So using my hypnotic skills, let me unpack what we're doing from the perspective I see it.
Okay.
From the perspective I see it is we're bypassing their conscious mind. We're getting them to commanding them to do unconscious processes to already make the decision that we want them to make on the unconscious level. And then they can talk about the conscious reasons why they did it, even though it may have nothing to do with that. You understand?
Yes.
The real reason they may pick you is because you remind them of a friend in high school, or they feel good about the pancake breakfast they had that day. And while they're talking to you, they feel that good feeling in their stomach. I took a course in law in a summer of my college career, which was very unillustrious. And one of the people, the professor was talking about the breakfast theory of law, that the judge makes a decision because he had a really good breakfast or a really bad breakfast. The bottom line is we're commanding them to go inside and do an unconscious process, but we're doing it in a very clever way where they don't catch it. It sounds like a normal, ordinary conversation, does it not?
It does.
And then we're telling them to, and then with the question, it's called an elicitation question. What are the top things you're looking for when you decide you're going to list? That's another suggestion. You're going to list. Did you hear it?
Yes.
And then when they list those things, it makes it easier for you to identify yourself with those things. You can pull them out in your record, your history. But really, listing those things is just a way for them to get a good feeling about the unconscious decision they've already made. Right. And I think what's I don't want to make anybody wrong. A lot of the sales techniques you've been taught can work to some extent. But the problem is they're either appealing to the conscious mind or they're expecting your prospect to know things that they just don't know.
Right.
Or they don't recognize that decisions are made on the unconscious level. So again, I'm going to bring it back to the same thing. You're selling decisions and good feelings, not the home. Number one thing to sell a decision is to get the unconscious mind to already make the decision before you go for the actual factual reasons.
Ross, can I ask you, like, when you get to that point, like you just said, where you get them to list maybe their top three reasons,
right.
You've already technically got them to agree on that unconscious level. So how much do you dive into those reasons without like overselling it? You know, am I making sense?
I wouldn't go too much into it unless they ask for more clarification.
Okay.
And they're basically,
you could undo everything you just did.
Well, I don't think you could undo anything. This is really powerful.
Okay.
Excuse me. But when they ask, they're going to tell you what those things are.
Okay.
Because you said, you remember the question?
Yes.
What are the top things you're looking for when you decide you're going to list with me?
Right.
All right. Decide you're going to list. By the way, what does that do? That takes the behavior, stating the things they're looking for, and links it to the decision they're going to list with you. So that's another really clever twisting in of the knife, so to speak.
Right.
All right. And I know we've heard this one. Everyone in the audience is probably sighing to themselves about this one. Your commission is really just too high.
Yep.
Right? Who hasn't heard that? Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah. I deal with it all the time.
All right. I'm going to give you something that will wipe out that objection 90% of the time. What would that be worth to you as a bottom line number?
Well, these days it would be worth a full percent at least on every transaction I do.
which comes out to what in actual dollars?
Well, in San Diego, on average, that's about $5,000 to $10,000 a deal.
All right, I'm going to give it to you free. The reason I want to give it to you free is not only just to make a good interview, but because what I'm proposing is so absolutely, maybe it doesn't seem out there, that the only way I can prove it that I'm someone worth talking to further is to give this away and let people try it for themselves, if it's not too complex. All right, your commission is really too high. So the first thing I would say, and I'll unpack it, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I don't want to waste your time, and I certainly don't want to waste mine. Now, what do you think that's establishing right there, right then, when you say that?
You're showing them some respect for the time and that this might not be a fit if it's coming down to price.
Right. I don't want to waste your time, and I certainly don't want to waste mine. That implies something. It doesn't state it. It implies that you're really busy and that you're in demand and that you don't have to have the deal.
Okay.
Now, when you come from a position of not needing the deal, well, I don't need the deal. I like it, but I don't need it.
Right.
Where does that put you in terms of who's got the power in the negotiation?
Right. It gives you a lot more leverage than they were probably presuming.
Yeah. They're presuming that you're going to beg for their business. You don't beg for their business. And you say, in effect, hey, don't waste my time. But you say it in a nice way because you start by saying, I don't want to waste your time. You're breaking their expected pattern of thinking.
Right.
They expect you to either argue and give reasons or to beg, correct?
Correct.
Or get flustered. We're not going to do any of those things. When you interrupt the pattern, then you put them into a very suggestible state. So you say, I don't want to waste your time. I certainly don't want to waste mine. All I can say is you get what you pay for. Now, that's what we call a truism. A truism is something that you just can't argue with. You get what you pay for. Isn't that a common phrase that everyone hears and everyone agrees with? Correct?
Yes.
All I can say is you get what you pay for. And most people recognize getting top dollars in your pocket at the end of the day is what it's really all about. So now what have you done? You've redefined it as being not they want to save money on the commission. They want to get overall top dollars. So now you've just taken the meaning away and you've inserted your meaning. And by the way, you're stating something that's true. At the end of the day, people do want to get top dollar in their pocket. Isn't that true?
Right. They're not as concerned about the commission if they're making top dollar.
Right. All I can say is you get what you pay for, truism. And most people recognize getting top dollars in your pocket at the end of the day is what it's really all about. So you've just redefined the meaning, right?
Yep.
And then you say, so forgive me for being blunt, but the issue isn't my commission being too high. The issue is your expectations of what a top negotiator could get you for your home are too low.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah, I do, because turn in it a around sense
completely. And that means, remember our favorite phrase, the linkage phrase, and that means it's time to get this paperwork out of the way so I can get going to work for you. Does this all make sense?
Yes. Could you repeat that last part again?
And that means it's time to get the paperwork out of the way so I can get going to work for you.
I like it.
You get it?
Yes.
Someone's trying to call me, but I don't care. The interview is more important.
Thank you.
All right.
So what I think you're doing, Ross, is so far we're, you know, we're dealing, we like to think And I think you've said it is important. There has to be rational reasons, but a lot of this is in the subconscious. And just giving a load of rational reasons why you're the best agent, why they should buy.
No, you never want to do that.
Isn't really going to work because you're not appealing to the real decision maker, which is the subconscious mind. Would that be correct?
Correct. Well, almost. When you give a lot of reasons, first of all, you're doing what everyone else does. So right. You're not doing what's expected. You're doing what's expected. When you don't start out by listing reasons, you're doing the unexpected, and that creates a state of suggestibility.
And is that because, I mean, people are so conditioned to hearing typical responses that they've got typical responses to those responses?
But exactly.
Okay. So what you're doing is removing that ability for them because they've never heard what you've said to them before.
Exactly. Right out of the gate, I want to make a hypnotic interruption.
Right.
I want to make a hypnotic interruption. And I'm sorry if this sounds unfair, but I did call it self-persuasion. I want to make a hypnotic interruption and turn off that part of their brain and those aspects of their behavior that can do their typical thing, which is to jerk you around and make you beg for the deal. So let's go back through this response. I don't want to waste your time, and I certainly don't want to waste mine. So what you're doing is you're breaking their expectation. All I can say is that you get what you pay for, and most people recognize top dollars, getting top dollars in your pocket at the end of the day is what it's really all about. So there you're stating a truism and you're reframing the meaning. So forgive me for being blunt, but the issue isn't my commission being too high. And this is called a meaning redefined. The meaning redefined takes the form of the issue isn't X, the issue is Y. The issue isn't my commission being too high. The issue is your expectation of what a top salesperson could get you for your home are too low. And suddenly they're going to think to themselves, oh, damn, he's right. And that means is what we call a redefine / linkage phrase. And that means it's time to get this paperwork out of the way so I can get going to work for you. Do you hear it?
I hear it. Yeah, so I like it.
Yeah, I know. It's really good. I think this will cut this whole commission negotiation, take it right off the table.
Now, I mean, Ross, can I ask you to take it one step further? What if it really is the money? Like, what if they're just hammering away, even though all this makes sense, it comes down to it's about money. Is there another step you can take it?
Can you define me? Can you give me some exact wording?
Sure. You know, Ross, we would love to list our home with you and everything you're saying makes sense. But when it comes down to it, it's that extra $5,000 that's stopping us from hiring you. If you could just trim that $5,000, we could shake hands and sign paperwork.
I have a generic one. I have a generic one for that. It would take me time to find it because I prepared a special sheet for this program. I labored over it for couple of hours because I know this is really important. Here's what you'd say. I'd say something around the lines of this. I'd use my three magic phrases. There are three magic words that you can use to put almost any objection on hold, at least for a little bit, to give you a shot to get around it.
Okay.
I would say, so say that to me. Give me that objection.
So, Ross, we're ready to sign paperwork with you and hire you, but the problem is that it's the full 3% you're going to charge on your side. If we could just trim it down by $5,000, we could hire you.
I'd say something along these lines. I'd say something like, I can see that up until now, and those are my three magic objection-destroying words, I can see that up until now, that's been an important thought for you, and I have to respect that's been so. I'm just wondering what it would be like if we were to take a look at it this way for just a minute and then show them once again, repeat once again, what you could do there is if you have a record. I don't know if it would be typical or maybe it would be an extraordinary thing to do. or I don't know if it's quite ethical to do, because it may seem like you're making a promise about how much you can get. And I don't think that's ethical or a good practice. But you would say, I'm just wondering what it would be like if we were to look at it this way for just a minute, and then do the redefine once again. Do the redefine once again. The issue isn't, I forget the exact words, but you see my point. It gives you a chance.
Well, you know, and there are sales stats that we pull that you know, we're not promising anything, but we can show them that typically in today's market, this is what you can expect with an agent that is competent enough to achieve that, so to speak, you know, without going too much into detail. But so there are stats to back up some of these claims.
Right. Now, I have one here. If you give me a second to find it, a really good one here And darn it, I came up with so many of these about a way to make it so as they walk through the home, they're ready to buy and to make an offer that very day. And damn it, if I can't find that. Ah. That makes me really unhappy, but it was a good one.
No, but I think, you know, in that actual part of the conversation, if it does come up, Ross, I think you would go back and you might paraphrase the three major reasons what they're looking for, and you would paraphrase them back back to them and in some gentle language point out that they want a top performer to represent them.
Right.
And a top performer doesn't normally discount. A top athlete, a top lawyer, a top of everything normally doesn't have to discount. So you've got to phrase it and point at maybe re-paraphrase the things they've said to you and then put that suggestion element into that phrasing.
Right.
What do you think of that, Ross?
I think that's very good. How much time we have? Because I want to give away another one. It's really
I think we've got time. What about you, Thomas? Got time for one more?
Absolutely. Let's keep
going. Okay. I want to give you one. This is a bunch of hypnotic language. It'll make it a little bit more likely that a potential buyer is going to put down a offer right then and there as soon as they've done the walkthrough. How would that be good?
That would be wonderful.
Because as we know, a confused mind makes no decisions, and the longer people go, the more confused they have. The more choices they look at, the less likely they'll make a good decision.
Yep.
It's
the paralysis of analysis.
That's right. And the delusion of confusion.
Come on, Jonathan, right. Where's yours?
I'm always confused, Thomas.
And I want your audience to remember, if this seems confusing and overwhelming, I am taking 90 days of private training or a weekend of intensive training and doing my level best. It took hours and hours to try to squeeze this through and offer the best I can for this. So
appreciate it.
Here we go. As we're doing the walkthrough of this home today, I would put the emphasis on these words. It's called an embedded suggestion. As we're doing the walkthrough of this home today, I think the more you recognize just what it is you love about it, the more easily you might find this is a really great choice for you. Here comes the really, really wicked part. You ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
So please feel free to offer up any questions you might have today, okay?
Already put an offer out there.
Did you hear that?
Yep.
So here's what we do. We're doing a pacing statement. As we're doing the walkthrough of this home today, and we're doing the more pattern. The more you recognize just what it is you love about it, the more easily you might find this is a really great choice for you. There's the suggestion. So please feel free to, and this is what we call a phonological ambiguity. So please feel free to offer up any questions you might have today, okay? Do you get it? So what are you doing? You're linking the behavior. You're saying, if I were to do it directly, because I'm a hypnotist, I would say, go into trance. Okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to walk through the home. You're going to recognize things you love about it. And recognizing the things you love about it will cause you to think this is a really great choice and then you're going to make an offer today. That would be if I were to state it directly. But if you were to state that directly to someone, they'd run out or look at you like you're a freak and push you down the stairs. What we're doing is opening the door to the unconscious mind. Remember, right. 90% of decision-making power is made by the unconscious. 10% is the excuses, the conscious excuses we give ourselves that's a good decision. So if you bear in mind these axioms, 90% of decisions are made in the unconscious. And you bear in mind that you're selling decisions and good feelings about the decisions, then it might cause you to stop and recognize the power I'm offering to influence the unconscious mind. Let's think about this. You know, even if you don't increase your sales by 100%, if you increase them by 20 to 30%, that's still a reasonably good fat number. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. I mean, that could be the difference of 10 deals more a year.
Yeah. So think about that. That's a substantial amount of money in your pocket. Now, this is like a tenth of what I could teach if we had more time, but I've really done my best to pack it in. I apologize if I didn't give you enough.
No, it's been good.
I think you've done an excellent job, Ross. So we're coming to the end of the interview, Ross. How can people find more about you, get hold of you, and learn more about these techniques?
Here's what I suggest. If in any way you've found for your own reasons that this is something you want to learn more about, here's what you can do. I do intensive one-on-one training programs over Skype. I also do trainings for offices. And if you're part of a real estate organization, I know you have lots of organizations, I can come and speak to your organization. If you're interested in any or all of those things, it's very simple to talk to me for free. I offer free Skype strategy sessions because I want people, again, to see the value in hiring me. So it's easy. Go to consultross.com. Once again, it's go to consultross.com. You'll see a little link that will help you schedule your initial free Skype strategy session, and we can go from there. And I'm really interested to get feedback from your audience and to see how much they enjoyed it, what they'd like to learn further.
Oh, that's great, Ross. So, Thomas, how can people get hold of you, Thomas?
Sure. Well, again, I'm at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook. And I want to remind our listeners to not only leave your comments for us here on the show notes on iTunes, but if you could subscribe, you're really going to help our show reach out to more people. We're really trying to help disrupt the community that is suffering a 90% failure rate, which is the real estate industry.
That's crazy.
I know. So we're trying to get good quality guests like yourself, Ross, out to the real estate community and change that. Jonathan, back to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ross, for being our guest. I think it's been a fascinating discussion. I think you pointed out some things that people in some ways realize, but they tend to put into that subconscious part of their mind. And a lot, just giving loads of facts just will not work, folks. You've got to be an excellent influencer, and that's dealing with the subconscious. So thank you so much, Ross. We'll be back next week with another guest or another subject that will help you become a more proficient real estate agent. See you next week, folks. Bye.